Alrighty. Morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good to see you all. Can we open up to Acts 26, please? We've got our Bibles with us. Acts 26, verse number 16. But rise and stand on your feet. I just feel someone, when I was praying this morning, I feel someone needs to hear that first line today. Rise and stand on your feet. It's time to rise and stand on your feet. God wants you to take a step, stand up, get up on your feet. You've been sitting down too long. You've been in the wrong place. You need to stand up. He's got something for you. Acts 26. Stand up. Today is the day to stand up. But arise, stand on your feet. For I have appeared to you this for this purpose, to make you a minister and witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory and praise for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. Lord, I just pray that your spirit would move in this place today, Lord, and bless the word this morning in Jesus' name. So it's almost the end of January. You know, to me, Christmas feels like it was so long ago. I can't believe it's still January, right? It's the year's just underway. But from the 1st of January, we had church on that Sunday, and it's New Year's Day, and I was just excited and pumped about the new year. Normally, you know, New Year's, I don't get too excited about it all. It's, you know, okay, yeah, we're in holidays and we move on. But for some reason, I had this real excitement. And it's not because I had a real bad 2022, right? Because you guys know that we moved to a new property. We've been so amazingly blessed through last year and everything was great. But for some reason, I just had this thing in my spirit that I was just, it's a new year and I was excited for it and just wanted to glorify God and believe for new things and just really, really pumped for the new year. And it wasn't something that I would normally do, but I guess it comes, you know, you think about new year and you have New Year's resolutions, and there's different mindsets we can take into a new year, right? We can say, oh, last year was a tough year, I'm ready to draw the line, move forward, we're going to have a new year and believe that there's going to be a better time ahead. Or you can, maybe you've made some changes towards the end of the last year and you're looking forward to seeing that change grow and develop and move on. Or you're expecting a new thing to happen. You've put plans in place or whatever, but by the end, you know, you're shortly into the new year, there's going to be some change which you're expecting. And our expectations for the year ahead largely are determined on our mindset towards the year and what is coming. But I had this excitement for the new year. And so when it comes to looking ahead for the year, it's about what are we looking at it from, what is going to be good for me, what's going to, my job or whatever it is. For me, it's about, okay, what's God going to do this year? What's God got planned for me, for my family, for us? How are we going to move through this year? And I'm just excited that this year, it's a new year and God's got good things for us this year. His purposes must be fulfilled this year, and we've got to be focused on His purposes and what He's doing through us, not what we're doing for ourselves and anything that we can sort of create or make happen. You know, in Acts 26, Jesus is speaking to Paul. So Paul's been walking along the road. He's the enforcer for the Pharisees, right? He's the guy who's after the believers, those of the way, and he's locking them up and killing them, and he believes he's doing what needs to be done. And we know the encounter on the road, and Jesus comes in his glory. They all fall down, and Jesus says to Paul, "What are you doing? Why do you persecute me?" And then he says, "Get up on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose." Number one, he's got a purpose. There's a purpose for Paul. And number two, to make you a minister. So it's a kingdom purpose that Jesus has for Paul. And we know what Paul does. We know how he changed from Saul to Paul, and he's just is incredible in the work that he does. And we've got to believe that God has the same purpose for us, for each of us. We have a purpose and a ministry in the kingdom which God wants us to fulfill and pursue and walk in and walk out. And if we see the year from that perspective, then we can have a different expectation than we look at it from our own perspective. So we've got to see the year ahead in what God's purpose and God and my ministry, my purpose in God, and that's what it's all about. It's not about, okay, you know, all the mundane things that we have to do in life. It's about how we're going to fulfill purpose in the kingdom this year. A man found a cocoon of a butterfly. One day, a small opening appeared. He sat and watched the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through that little hole. It suddenly stopped making any progress and looked like it was stuck. So the man decided to help the butterfly, took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily, although it had a swollen body and small shriveled wings. The man didn't think anything of it and sat there waiting for the wings to enlarge to support the butterfly, but it didn't happen. The butterfly spent the rest of its life unable to fly, crawling around with tiny wings and a swollen body. Despite the kind heart of the man, he didn't understand that the restricting cocoon and the struggle needed by the butterfly to get itself through the small opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings to prepare itself for flying once it was out of the cocoon. Now this story is relevant because maybe last year you didn't have a great year, or even right now you find yourself in a difficult situation. You've been dealing with a difficult situation for a long time, and for me too, you know, last year we were totally blessed, but there was a lot of tough challenges along the way. It wasn't smooth sailing, but we've got to understand that there's in our purpose, in our ministry, in what God has for us, there's ups and there's downs, and you don't get pure refined gold without a fire. You don't get the olive oil from the olive without it being crushed, and seeds need to die before they'll grow. You know, there's got to be a crushing. There's got to be a fire. If there's no struggle, there's no victory, and you can't fulfill your ministry or your purpose without a struggle along the way, because that's where we grow. You can't fulfill it without challenges and obstacles, which God brings to us as part of the process. And so if we've been through a tough time, we're going through a tough time, there's bound to be tough times ahead this year, it comes down to our perspective and how we look at that and how we can move through it. If we get bogged down and burdened by it all and look elsewhere and want to deviate from the course, then that's not growing, that's not fulfilling purpose, and it's being robbed. You know, the enemy comes to steal, to kill and destroy. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking those who he can devour. The enemy wants to rob you of your purpose. He wants your struggle to be your defeat. The enemy wants you to be tempted and follow an easier path. And so it's important, whether it's what you've been through or anything that comes up in the coming year, in the future, we've got to keep our mindset and our focus on kingdom on God, on His purpose, and not get distracted or dismayed or swayed from the enemy that comes to steal, to kill and destroy and rob us of our purpose. If we have a look at Luke chapter 4, this is where Jesus is tempted by Satan. So verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. So he's just been called out by John the Baptist. He's been filled with the Spirit. He's been baptized in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and he's around all the people that are there, and he's been and recognized and it's at the very start of his ministry. It's at the very start of God's purpose to fulfill in through Jesus. It's at the very start. And so then it goes on and it says, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So he's gone from a place of wonder, of Spirit filling, and the Spirit leads him out to the wilderness. So it's not a camping trip. It's not a holiday. The wilderness in those parts was arid, dry, rocky, stony. There was nothing there for Jesus. And yet, he was led by the Spirit. How often do we know that God leads us into challenging situations? God leads us into difficult times. And not because he wants us to suffer, but without that pressure, without the challenge, then he can't grow us and take us to where he wants us to be. We need to be into that wilderness place to then be taken to the mountain. You've got to go through the valley to get to the mountain. And God needed to take Jesus through that to that wilderness place before he could fulfill the purpose that he had for him. It goes on, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. The devil was there to tempt him, to test him, and it's similar to what the devil did with Adam, the first Adam, right? So the devil knew that it worked on the first Adam. We'll just tempt him. What about this? What about that? And you can have all this or you can have all that. But Jesus had a different response to the first Adam, right? Jesus had the response of word, scripture. So there's a couple of things here that Jesus was able to overcome the temptations of the devil. Number one, he was walking by the Spirit. He was walking by the Spirit, and even though it took him to a wilderness place, even though it took him to a dry place, an arid place, a tough place, he walked by the Spirit, he prayed, he fasted, and he was in the Word. You know, if we're in a tough situation, what's our go-to? What's our go-to for our challenges? Where do we go? What do we talk to our friends and complain about what's going on? Do we try to ignore it and bury it and not deal with what's going on and look for something else to make us feel better? Or do we go to God? Do we pray? Do we get on our knees? The first step, get on our knees, pray, get the Spirit ignited in our hearts so that we can overcome. You know, there's the Spirit of the Lord came upon so many people of the Bible. Saul, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he stepped into his purpose. He united the people and was powerful in fulfilling his purpose as he became king. Gideon, when he came out of the wine press, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was able to fulfill God's purpose for him. Samson, David, Moses, Elisha, Elijah, Joshua, they all had a situation where the Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they were able to take a mighty step forward in the purposes of God. And if we don't have the Spirit of the Lord upon us or in us or with us, then we cannot fulfill what God has for us. We cannot overcome that situation. We cannot walk through that wilderness place and overcome and have the victory. The other thing the devil did with Jesus in the wilderness was question who he was. He questioned his identity. If you are the Son of God, if you are, then you can do this. If you are that, then you can do this. And the enemy always wants to challenge our authority, challenge our identity and who we are. The negative thought patterns which so easily encapsulate us and take over our mind in a wilderness situation is the seeds of the enemy saying, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you can't get through this, look what God's taken you, he's brought you to this place. And all of these mental self-speak is just trying to pull you down, trying to drown you in that situation. So we need to rise above that. We've got to say who we are, whose we are, and know what we're here for. And so you need to hang on tight to the purpose that God has set before you. You know where God's taking you. You know what God has for you. And it's so easy for doubt to come in and say, well, did God really say? Did God really? Is God really doing this? Is God really taking you there? But the voice of faith says yes. And the voice of faith says, God is with me. Who can be against me? Rebuke the devil and he will flee. So, and at the end of that passage in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. So Jesus had passed the testing. He'd passed the testing, and the devil just wanted to get, he knew Jesus had a purpose. He just wanted to get Jesus on his side. If Jesus agreed to any of these temptations, then the victory was his, you know. If he could get Jesus to just compromise on one little thing and agree with the devil in any way, then he had the victory. And if we agree with the devil in any way, then he has the victory. We cannot agree with anything that the devil says to us, whether it's those negative thoughts, whether it's the questioning of what did God really say. We've got to stand strong on what God said. We need to build an altar for those promises that God has given us and not say, oh, well, maybe I was a bit mistaken or maybe God didn't really want that for me, because we know to expect a wilderness journey. We know to expect that we're going to go through it. So we can't just turn our back on what God said just because we're in a tight spot. We've got to hang on to those things. And I know it for myself, you know. I think, oh, you know, does God really want that for me? Is that really, maybe this isn't the way. And so I'm looking at other ways. You question, you doubt, but you got to hold on tight. If you know that God spoke to you about something, hang on to that. And stand on it and write it down and put it in your face and put it somewhere on the wall so that you can see it, so that you remember and you're reminded of what God has said, what God has promised for you in your life, and a direction that he wants you to walk. And so it doesn't matter whether you go across the hilltops or down through the valleys, you know that God has spoken, and God doesn't change his mind. God is not wavering. He says one thing and he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And so he's not gonna say one thing on one hand and then come and lead you in a different way and ask you to do something different on the other hand. So we need to look at everything through that bigger picture, through that eternal purpose, and say, okay, we can go through this because Jesus is with me. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And ask for strength. Jesus, strengthen me. Help me in this thing. Help me to remember what you've planted inside me. Help me to know the seed that you've planted inside me, which you want to bring forth fruit. Thank you, Jesus, for your purpose that you have for me. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Holy Spirit, move in me. Holy Spirit, open my eyes to see your truth. Can we just stand up, please? You know, God has a purpose for every single one of us. And not just a purpose to eat, sleep, and go to work. He's got a kingdom purpose for each and every one of us. And whether He's given us our purpose many years ago, and we haven't seen it happen, and we haven't seen it progress, He hasn't given up. He hasn't given up on you. He doesn't never gives up on you. He's always there with you. And He wants you to walk, take a step this year towards that purpose, fulfilling that purpose, fulfilling what He has for you. It's a ministry, but we think ministry means pastors, it means these leaders in the church community. Every one of us has a ministry, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's to our own family, whether it's to our friends. Whatever ministry God has for us, He's got that ability inside us to fulfill what He's called us to do. And so we all need to say, okay, where's my ministry at? Where's my ministry at? What's my purpose at? God, where are we going? You've spoken this, you've promised this, let's walk in that direction. Let's look at this year, 2023, from that perspective. We want to see this year for the Lord, for the kingdom. We want each and every one of us needs to start moving together towards our fulfilling our purpose. If we're all kingdom focused, then the church can move to a new place collectively. The church should not be the ones that are sitting down waiting for things to happen. God's got a purpose on each of us, so we need to be walking in. We need to be walking it out. And if we're not going anywhere, then the church has got no life. We need to be a living church, a moving church, and by each of us fulfilling the kingdom purposes that God has set before us. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You were born for such a time as this. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. This is truth. This is the word of the Lord for you today, that you were formed in the womb before you were born. He consecrated you. God knows the plans He has for you. And you were born for such a time as this. You're meant to be here. You're meant to be here today. You're meant to be where God has planted you. Don't question, don't doubt, don't be dismayed, but stand on the truth. Stand that God has a purpose for you. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we just give you glory and praise today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your purposes. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. And we thank you, Lord, for the kingdom purpose that you have to fulfill in this place. In each and every heart today, Lord, we just surrender to you. We surrender our lives to you, Lord, that we can walk in your purpose. We can walk in the ways that you have us walk, and we can fulfill the things that you'd have us fulfill, that we might see the kingdom established here on earth as it is in heaven. We want to see you move. We want to see your way fulfilled, Lord. And we just pray, Lord, that you would touch each of us right now. We stand with open hearts to hear your word, Lord. We listen to your Holy Spirit speak to us. Where do you want us to go? Remind us now, Lord, of the promise you made. Remind us now of the purpose that you've set in our heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come against the enemy right now in Jesus' name, where the enemy has come to steal and to kill and destroy and rob us of our purpose and distract us and cause confusion. We just come against that attack of the enemy right now in every single heart today, Lord, that there would be clarity. Jesus, Lord, let your spirit divide flesh from spirit. Let the sword of your spirit come in and move, Lord, in our hearts, and let us see your truth. We rebuke the devil. We rebuke the attack of the enemy. We rebuke the wiles of the devil that he would have no place in our hearts, no place in our minds, and no place in our purpose in you this year, Lord. We just pray, Lord, right now that 2023 would be a year of outpouring. It would be a year of abundance. It would be a year of testimony where we see your goodness and your promises fulfilled in Jesus' name. Lord, come and have your way in this place. Have your way in our hearts. Have your way in our lives this year. We want to see you, your purposes fulfilled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. I really believe we're in a solemn moment right now. Hallelujah. God wants to reignite some first love experiences. Too often we get into a place of comfort and compromise, and we allow that first love fire dwindle. Hallelujah. Well, God wants to use his winnowing fan this morning and burn the coals of your heart afresh. Glory to God. Yes. If you've been in Christendom as long as I have, you hear these words like destiny and purpose, and you think, oh, well, I've heard that before. You cannot afford to lose hope. You cannot afford to get compromised in things and say, well, whenever it'll be, it'll be. I'm telling you now, God wants to be your I am today. Hallelujah. If you want that fresh fire in your spirit man, I'm not talking about your soul, I'm talking about your spirit man. You lift your hands before the Lord and say, God, create in me. Father, refire me. Refresh me this morning. You ain't finished with me yet. Lord, if I'm called to be the best husband, help me to be the best husband I can be. If I'm called to be a great father, help me to be the greatest father I can ever be. Whatever ministry you've called me to, let it be to my utmost. That, Father, I won't just give you half-hearted. I'll be all in. Jesus, help me to be all in. All in with you. Not half-hearted walk, but full, Father, full of you. Father, this morning you're here. I see our hands raised this morning. God, forgive us of our apathy. Forgive us, Father, being half-hearted in the things of the kingdom of God. Lord, we want to be all in. I want to be all in. All in, Jesus. It's all you. So this morning we ask you, let your winnowing fan purge my heart. Let the winnowing fan, Father, cause the flame to burn afresh in my spirit, that I just don't have to pray for a hunger of the word. There'll be a hunger of the word. There'll be a hunger for your presence. There'll be a hunger, my God, to hear the voice of the Father. We ask in the name of Jesus this morning. Father, we come as your little children. Here we are, Lord. And we say this morning, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, Lord, let the I in me subside, that it'll be all of you. We ask in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the mountaintop experience. I thank you, Lord, for the valley experience. I thank you, Lord, for my ups, and I thank you for my downs. And in it all, you'll never leave me nor forsake me, and you'll refine me through it for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, if that's you this morning, shout amen. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. Glory to God. He's a good God. Great word, son. Wonderful word. Please stay. Have some fellowship time. I'm not saying for tea and coffee because you should have already had it. Amen. Next week, we'll be back to the original format. All right? So you'll have your tea and coffee after service. Amen. Praise and worship next week. So come ready to give. Amen. Are you listening to me? Come ready to give, not to get. Come to give him something. The priest was never allowed to just go into before the things of God without giving something. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you. Have a great week, successful week in Jesus' name. Amen.